Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? Hope everyone is having a good day, or weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. So, let's see, where do I even begin? I am exhausted. So if you didn't, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it before, but I work multiple jobs. I have one full-time, like, 8 to 4:30 job during the week, and then I also have a shift at a friend's pie shop locally called Pie's the Limit. Work there one night a week, and then for three nights, right? Thursday, Friday. Yeah, three nights a week. Sometimes four, depending on what events we have going on. I work at a local bar, so I'm tired. but this past Monday and Tuesday, I didn't have any work shifts that I had to do. And then this weekend, right now I am recording this on Saturday, May 29th, which is the day before I usually release any of my episodes. I usually release on a Sunday morning. So, you know, it's been cool. Today, I had the opportunity. I kind of sort of did a spur-of-the-moment trip to Buffalo, New York, where I went to the Buffalo and Erie County Botanical Gardens. It was absolutely gorgeous. Oh my God, they had so many beautiful plants and a lot of plants that I didn't expect them to have. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw an Anthurium clarinervium there. I took a picture of it. It's on my stories on my Instagram, and which I also highlighted, so it'll always be there, which is so much fun. And also went to the Plant Shack, which is a little plant store that I have been following on Instagram for a while now, but I've never really had the opportunity to go and check them out, which then brings me to some planty updates. So the very first one, not to say like it took so long, but it just took so long in terms of weather. I finally got a plant from a dear friend, Danny, who is Planty Hose on Instagram. And it is a Philodendron melanochrysum, which has been on my wish list for forever. And it's an absolutely beautiful plant. I have an unboxing of it on Instagram. And I remember when he sent it to me, he was like, you can definitely take a ton of cuttings from it already. And I opened it, and there is, let's see, I want to say 5 leaves on it with one coming out already. So that's a lot of nodes already. If I really wanted to, like, chop it all up and then add more plants, you know, which, let's be real, I might do that. Because I'm thinking about propagating it a ton and then letting it, like, just take over a moss pole. So we'll see. But it's absolutely beautiful. I absolutely love it. And I am so excited to finally have it. And I'm going to be sending him some Philodendron Brantianum, which he doesn't have. So I don't think it's the most equal of trades. But he doesn't have it. So, you know, that's... It's good. But he wasn't even going to accept a trade at first. I was like, no, I'm giving you something. So I'm glad I was able to get that and at least have something that he doesn't have to trade. And then today when I went to the plant shack, I've been looking for this plant for months now, but it's always so overpriced. And whatever price you get it at, if it's a cheap one, it's barely a plant. I finally found a Sansevieria Bantel Sensation. Technically it's Dracaena, but you know. And it's beautiful. It's huge. It's got 3 plants in the pot, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's one of the Sansevierias that, like, I actually desire. Like, don't get me wrong. Sansevieria are great, very reliable growers, but, you know, the normal Trifasciata and whatnot, they don't, like, do it for me. They're great plants to put in a low-light situation if you have, like, a dark corner that you want to fill up with a plant. Absolutely great. But the Bantel Sensation is one of the few Sansevieria that, like, I desired. So I am so happy I found it for $30 too, which is insane. Normally a plant like this size I would find for double that, if not triple that. So I am very happy that I found it and so ecstatic that it's in my collection finally. And with that plant, I am going to probably be doing a plant ban on myself for the foreseeable future, just so I'm not taking so much extra plants with me when I move to Colorado. And another planty update. So I don't know if you guys remember, but how I first met Nikki from Plants Pots and Whatnots and Stacia from Oops, I Sold My Planties was I won a giveaway on Nikki's 1,000th subscriber video for a Philodendron Gloriosum. And this thing has been through the ringer, honestly, with me. I don't know what it is, but for some odd reason, it's just not doing so hot. And it got, I think, mealybugs, and all the leaves just died. And so I just have the piece of stolon that Stacia propagated, and just in a pot of soil, and I'll water it when I remember, and just kind of let it do its thing. And it's finally popping out another leaf. Like, I've had this plant forever now. Over a year now, I think. I'd have to double check. I don't remember when I first got it from Stacia, but it's just been sitting there doing nothing. And I was like, I'm not giving up on it. I'm not doing it. I want it to survive. And I thought about taking it out of the soil and repropagating it, make sure it gets some substantial roots. And, you know, I kind of took it out of the soil a little bit, and it's perfectly good. It's got some decent roots. So I'm like, I don't know why it's taking so long, but it's finally popping out a new leaf. I am so super excited. We'll see how things go. And which now means I'm also going to make sure I am on top of the watering and stuff like that. So we'll go from there and see what happens. So this week I want to talk about plant apps. So I am part of quite a few houseplant groups on Facebook, and the Facebook groups are great resources for really budding and no pun intended, newly starting plant parents, right? Lots of good information there. And one of the few questions that always pop up is, what are some plant apps that you use? And people ask for two types of reasons. One, for identification purposes, which totally valid, and two, for, you know, watering schedules, for reminders, etc., etc., etc. So let's talk about plant identification apps, I should say. And I use a couple personally, and don't get me wrong, I think it is a good idea to have plant identification apps or books, so you can kind of get started, get on the right path to potentially what your plant is. And then you can go on the internet and search, yada, yada, yada. My disclaimer for a lot of these apps is don't let those apps be the end-all, be-all. You know what I mean? They're not always going to be 100% accurate. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't. And your best bet is to use them as an extra resource. So, you know, use the app, figure out what kind of plant you're looking at, and then do some Googling. Usually a lot of these apps will tell you potential different plants as well, if it's not the exact plant that you're looking at, which is really beneficial. So a couple of the plant apps that I use for IDing purposes. So the ones that I go to, like, frequently are Picture This and Plant Snap. I find that I think Picture This might be the one that I use the most. And then I'll sort of back it up with Plant Snap, or vice versa. Sometimes it just depends on whatever just pops up first in terms of, like, where my finger goes. They both work pretty similarly. You can either upload a picture or you can take a picture of it yourself and then ID it. And like I said, it's pretty accurate a good chunk of the time, but sometimes it just doesn't work very, very well. I will say that PlantSnap has a lot of features for being free. And Picture This There is an option to buy like the premium version where I'm not exactly sure what it has on there, but you can use it for free as well. You don't have a lot of access to a whole bunch of things, but honestly, if all you're looking for is to take a picture and just to identify the plant, you're all set. So those two in particular, I think, work really well. And then there's Seek, which is by iNaturalist. And iNaturalist is pretty great because it also works with the California Academy of Science and National Geographic. And then not only does it work with plants, but it also works with animals as well, which is pretty cool. And it'll sort of give you nearby species, you know, like local species that are probably growing and or running around. But this is more for your local flora outdoors. So, you know, in the Northeast, we're going to find, you know, trout lilies, trilliums, bloodroots, you know, those kinds of plants. And so those aren't really houseplants, they're outdoor plants. So it is useful for that. If you are, say, on a hike or something and you're like, what is this plant? You can use iNaturalist for that, Seek. But you can use Picture This and PlantSnap for outdoors as well, and it works just as well. Now, the other question that I was talking about when people ask, what are some apps you use, are kinds of apps like, you know, things that will keep track of your plants. Oh, when should I fertilize? When should I water? Stuff like that. And I tried using one of those. One of them is called Grow It, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings. First of all, plants don't grow on a schedule. In the grand scheme of things, they do. You know, there is seasonality, so that does cause some form of schedule, but Mother Nature doesn't reign on a schedule. So I feel like these sorts of apps aren't good for plant parents. Especially, granted, you know, I understand where newer plant parents are coming from. It's sort of like a, well, I, you know, want to be sure that I am watering appropriately and, you know, I am providing the appropriate nutrients, yada, yada, yada. But I think to be, I don't want to say a good plant parent, or anything like that, but to effectively grow plants, you should basically listen to your plants. Every plant has a way of letting you know when it needs something. But I think the downfall to that is sometimes you don't see those issues until, like, it physically happens on the leaf. So a yellowing leaf margin, or the entire leaf yellowing, brown crisp edges, brown tips, stuff like that. And I think plant parents, new ones, freak out when their plants aren't pristine. Browning leaves, spotted leaves, yellowing leaves, that's all natural. There is no way in hell, no way, that you are going to keep the plant that you bought that's beautiful the same level of pristine unless you have a greenhouse. Let me say that again. You will never, ever have plants as pristine as they are when you first bring them home, unless you have a greenhouse with the timers to keep the humidity levels up, with grow lights, all that fun stuff. Even in the wild, browning leaves, yellowing leaves, crispy leaves, that's all natural. It's okay if your plant does that. Now, some of the plant apps that I was looking at that tell you a schedule, they tell you a lot of wrong information. Like, I remember I was looking up my, because you have to catalog all your plants. So I will say that is a good benefit because it tells you every single plant that you have because you have to log them in and everything. And it sort of gives you a recommendation of when you should water, when you should fertilize and stuff like that. So it is actually really great in terms of keeping an inventory list. I'll just use Google Excel for that. Google Sheets. Yes, Google Sheets or Excel. Not the same thing. Well, kind of the same thing, but that's another conversation. But the downfall is that it's never accurate. For some plants it is, but I remember it was saying like, oh, a peace lily, you should water that once a week. Fine. Yes. But if you own a peace lily, I'm looking at mine now because I watered it, I think last week, it's already wilted completely, which means I need to water it again, right? And it also said for a Sansevieria, water it once a week. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't because you're going to rot the roots. And especially in the winter, a lot of the apps don't tell you that in the winter, you should probably slow down the watering or what have you. Most plants, especially when your heating kicks on and dries out the air and there's not as much light as there is in the summer, especially if you're in the northern hemisphere like I am, everything slows down growth. And if you're constantly watering it on the schedule that it says, you are going to kill it. You're going to rot it out. So I say for the identification purposes, 100% use it. Don't let it be the end-all be-all, but use it as a resource to do a little further research just to verify with other sources. And for the scheduling apps, don't use it. Learn about your plants. Learn its needs, and then learn how it tells you what it needs. A lot of plants have their own little way of telling you, oh, I need to be watered, where, you know, maybe the leaves get a little limp or the leaves get dull. That one was a little bit harder for me to realize, was when some of the leaves get a little duller, like that's when it needs some water. That's a very like minute, almost really, it's really easy to miss that signal. But if you think about a golden pothos, Apoprymnum aureum, when you're looking at its leaves and all of a sudden you kind of see it get a little limp, or it's starting to, you know, not be as rigid and stiff or as lush as it will look if when you water it, that's a good way to realize, oh, it needs water. And even particularly with that plant, it starts to dull. I found that the leaves will dull. It won't be as shiny. Oh, time to water it. Water it, give it like another hour or two. It perks back up and it's nice and firm and shiny and in its full glory. Things like Sansevieria or the Dracaena, when the leaves feel soft and not as rigid, that's another good way to water. Another good way to look to see if they're watering. Most plants, if you just look at the leaves, and feel the leaves, if they don't seem like rigid or strong, that's usually a sign probably needs water. You know, for some plants, you don't want to go too far, so you do have to keep on top of them a little bit, but don't rely on some form of machine to tell you when the plant is ready to be watered, because sometimes it's going to be wrong. Although I will say, for my fiddle leaf fig, I really can't figure out a good way for that plant in particular to tell me when it needs to be watered. So that's sort of a crapshoot. For that one in particular, for really any ficus, keep it on a schedule. That is the best way for you to water ficus. They like, what's it called? They like consistency. That's the word. Things have to be consistent for them. Consistent light, consistent humidity, consistent watering schedule. So for ficus, yes, an app that tells you, oh, time to water your ficus, fine. But for any other plant, learn how to identify when the plant in particular is saying, hey, I need water. If a plant starts to yellow in certain places, unlike the newer growth or like the younger growth, probably a nutrient deficiency. Look up the type of nutrient deficiency there are in plants, and you should compensate for that. However, in the growing season, you should be fertilizing every other week or once a month anyways, just because our plants are in pots and there's no added nutrients. But generally, if you use compost in your soil mix and you kind of repot once a year, that should be enough. You'd be surprised on how much fertilizer or nutrients they can use in just another repot. So learn those tips and tricks and really listen and really look at your plants, and you will be able to figure out how to water them properly and how to give them the appropriate nutrients that they need, because they will tell you. Don't rely on an app for that. All right, y'all. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed my little rant on different plant apps. So if you want to connect, go ahead and follow me on Instagram, The Plant Nook Podcast, or send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com. You could also head to anchor.fm/theplantnook, where you can find other ways to support the show. You can also check out the merch shop, which you'll find down below or in the bio of my Instagram. And you should also rate, review, and subscribe, and share the show with all of your friends. That way more people can be part of the plant fam. So until next time, have a good week. Bye. The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.